It is, thirdly, real obedience to an actual superior, which assumes he is a human being vested with divine authority. Now, we all know what this means. It's that human being. That's the problem with obedience. It's not the divine authority. It's the human being. And can superiors ever be human? Whose authority? The Pope tells us is absolutely necessary for every single local community. You just don't have it unless somebody is in charge. I have one Latin passage in this talk. The Pope says, speaking of obedience, obedience happens to be feminine gender, obediencia in Latin, just happens. The Pope says, obediencia cuivis communitate est forsus necessaria. Obedience is forsus, absolutely, totally, completely necessary. Cuivis communitate. Every single one. You just don't have a community without some human being, and you cannot substitute an angel, a human being who is in authority. So much for the first level of fundamentals. And by the way, it's the superior that makes the community. It's not the building. It's not even the people. There are, philosophically speaking, two kinds of necessity. The necessity of being and the necessity of means. The necessity of being spells out the four things without which there's no community, or without which there's no religious life. There must be poverty, there must be chastity, there must be obedience, and there must be a community under a superior. That's the necessity of being. Religious life without these four doesn't exist. The ones we are addressing ourselves to now are necessity of means. Means to what? Means to maintain religious life in corporate existence. Otherwise, as so much experimentation, as it's still being called, has done, it either reduces religious life to an airy dream, or it degenerates religious life into a bizarre imitation of the real thing. Thus, the practice of community charity is declared by the Pope to be basic for the maintenance of evangelical chastity. Do you hear that? Show me a community. I don't even have to know where it is. Just tell me. That community lacks, notoriously lacks, charity. I don't even want to know where it is. I will tell you a priori. A priori. Those members fail in chastity. Do you hear it? Humanly speaking, it is impossible to maintain lifetime consecrated chastity unless my heart is first in love with God and shows its love in the selfless charity towards others. In other words, community charity, deep and strong, is indispensable for evangelical chastity. Thus again, communities have a purpose, unless that purpose is the same, how can they expect to be remain united? My manuscript says, one of the most effective ways, I want to now change it because I'm becoming wiser with age. The absolutely necessary means to keep a community united is to have a corporate apostolate. In other words, the group must have a common purpose to which they address themselves. And that's why in one community after another, where schools have been given up. And this is a primera as one community. Well, I can identify it. The IHMs of Monroe, Michigan, in 1 year closed 30 of their schools. What a mistake. And the more, say, the educational institutions become academically sophisticated, the more higher degrees are required to then qualify, say, to teach in an institution or to be an administrator in, say, a welfare institution, a hospital, the more likely it is that the number of lay personnel will outnumber the religious. Until the religious ask themselves, whose hospital is this anyhow? Or whose school is it? The figure has changed and worsened since I saw it. Well, the last figure I saw was from Marquette University. Well, the percentage is still pretty good. But then there were 1,100 lay teachers and administrators and only 90 Jesuits. And the figure is more than 1,100 lay and less than 90 Jesuits today. Either then, a community as a corporate apostolate to which religious can be sent. What, pray tell, does the apostolate mean unless you're sent? Sent to what? And all this clever talk about dismantling institutions, and this is the difficult one, because as we know, to maintain poverty, true poverty, and yet continue the work in our apostolates, that dialectic is very difficult to maintain in balance. We must have corporate apostolates. Otherwise, as I've told more than one superior, including a mother general, well, so you're mother general now. All you need is somebody under your authority, because though she had then a 1,500 member community, she had by that time lost her authority. We're going to talk a good deal about open placement, you name it what. But open placement is the sword that destroys religious communities. Thus again, with profound insight into human nature, a religious habit is said by the Pope to be not only a sign of religious consecration, which it is, but also, we are told, a sure means of preserving religious poverty. Do you believe that? Pardon me for saying this. All I know is, when I come here, all I have to do is bring my cassock along, or this time I left one of my cassocks here and they have the other one in New York. I haven't worn, pardon me for saying this, I haven't worn a shirt for 25 years. The last time I ironed a shirt, Superior sent me to Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo, which I had to learn how to spell. It ended with two O's, Kalamazoo. And I lived alone. I think the loneliest person on earth is a villager who loves community life. While I lived with a secular priest who is Newman Chapman, I was on the faculty. But since I was told that I, you know, shouldn't walk around with, well, I didn't wear a cassock in class, but I didn't wear my, you know, black suit and collar, but that they should see a shirt under me, my sleeves, I was told it's not polite to be walking around without people seeing your shirt. So I bought myself some shirts. And after a couple of weeks, they had to be washed. And the worst part, they had to be ironed. I bought myself an American Beauty. Do they still have American Beauty irons? It took me about an hour and a quarter to iron one shirt. 5 years later, when I left the university, I never used the iron again. I told people, rules or no rules, I wouldn't send shirts to the laundry. I wasn't going to iron them. But a habit, you can, well, you're dressed just because you've got your habit on, right? This one is Father Burns' habit. I knew he was going to die. I made sure I showed up shortly after his death. It fits me perfectly. A habit, the Pope tells us, is a sure sign and means of preserving poverty. What a person wears symbolizes what he or she owns. Though I should add that some people wear more expensive clothes than they can afford. In today's world, as in every age, expensive clothes, different clothes for different occasions, and a constant change in style and fashion are the hallmark of affluence. They are also the opposite of what a religious professes to be. The laity don't want to see religious all dolled up. In the years to come, Pope Paul's apostolic exhortation will rank among the major documents of papal history. Yet, as always in things of the Spirit, it will especially depend on how and how many take the words of Christ the Vicar to heart, which means reducing them to practice. I think I'm speaking to the right audience when I say that you certainly will not be wanting in that zeal which carrying the Pope's teaching will demand. In fact, there are people that just never invite me to speak to them. Invite me to speak to them. They wouldn't even listen if they knew I was talking. That's why I feel so safe in speaking so openly. I know I'm among friends. This zeal to live up to what the Vicar of Christ tells religious they should be is costly, but it's worth the price. I like to close with where we began. The Latin title of the exhortation is Evangelica Testificatio, evangelical, or uses an adjective, gospel. Testificatio means what? Giving, fostering. Gospel witness, or giving witness as Christ gave witness. What did his religious life finally cost him? His death. And we're all scared to die. You don't take, and I'm not drawing from books I've read, I'm drawing from personal experience. You behave like a good religious, blindly surrendering to what the church tells us how religious should be. You don't have to be told this. By now, you should know it. You will be on trial. People will watch you. Some, no doubt, will admire you, but make sure not everyone will. Some will criticize. Some will oppose. Some will persecute. And if they see you still standing, some will try to destroy you. Religious life, faith tells us, is revealed truth. And the world never likes to be told or shown the truth. That is what Christ did on the cross. He witnessed to the truth, and he paid for that witness with his life. We are privileged to do the same. And I'm not sure which is easier, to die for the truth or to live. That's an odd one. Live for the truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.